Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, very much from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, March 30, 2021. Gunmen killed 19 people in eastern Equatorial State.
And was attacked by people suspected to be Boya, and they killed 5 people. And it is based on that, now this group from that area also came and made a rebellion.
And several activists are arrested in the South Sudan capital, Juba.
We continue to see people given driving permits, people that do not qualify to have driving permits. We are asking for justice for our colleague who has died. We are asking for compensation for what has happened to our guys.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in eastern Equatorial State say armed men killed 19 people and injured several others in Budi County during two separate incidents this week. The governor of eastern Equatorial State, Louis Lobong, accused armed youth suspected to be from Kapoita for the attacks. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Speaking by phone from Budi County yesterday, Eastern Equatoria Governor Louis Lobong Lojore said armed men suspected of being from Kapoita killed 17 civilians and injured another 4 in Camp 15 in Budi County on Sunday. Lobong says authorities suspected the attackers to be armed youth from the Kapoita community. He says the motive behind Sunday's deadly attack was believed to be a revenge attack on what had occurred at the SPLM-IO containment at Lowering in 2020.
There was also an incident of Lowering, a small containment area which had been there, and it was turned like a small market business center. And was attacked by people suspected to be Boya, and they killed 5 people. And it is based on that, now this group from that area also came and made a rebellion and killed the 17 people I have mentioned.
Lobong says he traveled to Camp 15 in Budi County on Monday to calm tension in the area following the attack on the trading center over the weekend. Governor Lobong, on his return from Camp 15 the same Monday evening, fell into an ambush which led to the death of his bodyguard and another woman, while 3 others sustained injuries, bringing the death toll to 19 and 7 wounded over the past 2 days. Eastern Equatoria State Information Minister Patrick Oting says, as Governor Lobong was returning to the state capital on Monday evening, suspected youth from Budi County attacked his convoy, killing 2 people and injuring 3 others.
After finishing the meetings with the community of Boya in Camp 15, they did not know what was going on, but they got on their vehicles and they were driving towards Kapoita, just within Camp 15, just the same place, just some short distance, and they fell in ambush and they were attacked by the same youth Boya in Camp 15.
Oting says the motive behind the attack on the governor's convoy has not been established. He says Governor Lobong and his peace delegates were backed at the SSPDF barracks and called for reinforcement of soldiers.
So the team withdrew from that place, governor plus all the dignitaries that were with him on the very convoy, including even the commander of the army here in Chorit. He was also General Robert Okimo. He was also in that very convoy. And they withdrew back to the camp, to the barracks, which is in Camp 15. And so when they were there, because they were, after the ambush, they came back, they called for the reinforcement. So it wasn't before the attack, but it was after the attack that the reinforcement was stopped.
Oting says he hopes with the presence of soldiers on the ground, the governor and his peace delegates will continue with the peace mission to the 3 communities of Buya, Didinga, and Toposa in eastern Equatoria. Oting reassures people of the state of the governor's safety and calls on them not to panic as the situation is under control. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on security matters, officials from Central Equatorial State say gunmen killed 10 people along the Juba-Yeyi Road in 2 separate incidents over the past 2 days. An official with Yei County says 4 people were killed while traveling from Uganda to Juba on Sunday. Authorities in Central Equatoria are blaming rebels of the National Salvation Front for carrying out the attacks. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Yei County Police Commissioner Major General Yuasa Lujankamba says 3 Ugandan drivers were among the victims killed Sunday on the Juba-Yei Road.
The 3 vehicles came straight away from Uganda going to Juba. And they are actually head of Gandhi, a place called Gagedu. There was, you know, a higher hill there. It's called Gagedu.
Mm.
So when this Sasrizia collapsed down, 4 gunmen appeared on the road and starting actually to stop them. It was very unfortunate that the 3 vehicles did not stop, so they are just running. So they started actually firing on the 3 vehicles.
General Kamba says aside from the 3 drivers, the gunmen also killed 1 passenger, Viola Editha. A sister of one of the deceased drivers called on the government to protect the lives of travelers along the Juba-Yei Road.
When they called me, they told us that when he arrived to those ends of Ganji, they entered an ambush. So they were all slaughtered. 3 of them. They were like 4. So one of them, my brother is called Dada Bugo. That one is called Ali. And that one is called Martin. So that one really, it makes me unhappy when things are happening here in South Sudan. It makes me unhappy. The government should provide for us security whenever we are moving.
Editha says her brother was mistaken for a Ugandan. She says he leaves behind a daughter and a pregnant wife. Editha says she's praying to God that the government of South Sudan provides security to its citizens.
The security is very, very important. Because it is not important for us to lose young people, especially like my brother. He has like 21 years old, so it is very sad for me to lose him.
At a Monday news conference in Juba, Central Equatoria State officials accused National Salvation Front, or NAS, rebels led by Thomas Cirillo, of carrying out the violent attacks on travelers. Central Equatoria Information Minister Paulino Lukudu says NAS soldiers are responsible for Sunday's killings and 4-6 more killings along the same road on Monday.
Between Lembe and Kenyi in the area called Kinda, they also killed 2 motorcyclist riders and shot 1 passenger car which was coming from Yei to Juba. The driver managed to drive off and escape from the deadly scene. Also this morning in Ganji Stream, the same NAS forces burned down passengers' vehicle and killed 4 civilians. The NAS forces continue to violate the ceasefire, which they are signatory to, by launching attacks in Lasu and Lata of Yei River County last week.
Suba Samuel, NAS spokesperson, says they are not responsible for road ambushes.
We're not aware of these attacks, call them road ambushes, whatever. We're not aware of it. What we know, our forces are engaging the SSPDF south of Juba, in Otogwe and Mulo, and yesterday it was in Mukaya. This is what we know. And of course, the government of Central Equatoria, being of course the sycophants of the regime of Salfakir, they have all the justification to blame on us, because that's an easiest of what for them to show to the regime they're okay. But they're not representing their people.
Lukudu says he hopes NAS leader Thomas Cirillo will actively engage in ongoing peace talks between the government and holdout groups under the coalition called the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance in Naivasha, Kenya. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The South Sudan Police Service arrested several activists during a peaceful demonstration today in the South Sudanese capital, Juba. The activists were protesting the death of a musician, Beatrice Hilo Cosmas, known as Trisha C, who was killed in a car crash on Monday. One activist says residents of Juba are demanding better health services and a responsive police department. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
Nono Diana, executive director of the activist group called Young Positive South Sudan, says several activists were arrested during the protest, including Wani Michael, executive director of OK Africa Foundation, Jame David Kolok, chairperson of South Sudan Civil Society Forum, Mathiang Manas, a member of Anataban Organization, and popular comedian Phil Free. Dozens of protesters took part in today's demonstration at the Mobile Runabout. Many others carried Manila folders with the messages reading, "Stop killing us, we need our rights, and what system is this?" A water tanker crashed into the Boda Boda on which singer Trisa C was traveling. She was first rushed to Juba Teaching Hospital, but because of a delay in emergency support, she was rushed to Peace Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. Shortly after police arrived on the scene of the protest, protesters and officers engaged in a heated exchange of words, and police arrested several participants. The media was also turned away from covering the event. Police confiscated the demonstrators' placards. Shortly after the police arrived, activist Jame David had this to say during the protest.
"We continue to see people given driving permits, people that do not qualify to have driving permits. We are asking for justice for our colleague who has died. We are asking for compensation for what has happened to our guys. And we are asking for real reform in this country. We expect the police to support us. They shouldn't be our enemies."
Activist Wani Michael says the move was aimed at bringing government attention to the country's poor health system.
"We need the government to give us answer how they will fix what's in the hospital. We need justice for everybody in this country. This must end. Justice, justice."
Efforts to reach out to South Sudan police for comment on this story were unsuccessful. Diana describes why activists organized today's demonstration.
"The poor health services in Juba Teaching Hospital, and then how the police give out license to reckless drivers, people who do not know the laws of the country, are some of the key things that have triggered this demonstration. Because Rebecca Dadere, 350 is not the only victim to the reckless water tank drivers. But there are other many victims that South Sudanese have been watching, and the government has not been taking action."
Diana says the government should improve services at Juba Teaching Hospital, the country's largest national referral hospital. Government spokesperson Michael Makwe says the demonstration was uncalled for.
"This group is backed up by certain elements from outside. We know them. And there is the actual civil society, which is the South Sudanese civil society, which does not want the influence, which does not want external influence."
In Juba, the population survives on water from the River Nile supplied and sold by foreign drivers who primarily come from Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia. South Sudanese are demanding to know why the government still does not provide citizens with tap water 10 years since the country gained independence. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese refugees add their voices to condemn land grabbing in their country. That story is coming up right after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting, and you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam, and you have to wait till maybe probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that's mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white-collar jobs are the most earning. But in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our Tuesday Health segment, we look at the fight against COVID-19. In the global race against emerging variants of COVID-19, experts say it is imperative to reach herd immunity very fast by vaccinating as many people as possible. VOA's correspondent Mariama Diallo reports on the range of vaccine being used in the US and elsewhere.
In the United States, three vaccines are being used: Pfizer-BioNTech, Moderna, and a recent addition from Johnson & Johnson. U.S. health experts say all have been rigorously vetted. There are some differences in delivery and some debate about their efficacy rates. J. Stephen Morrison is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's the director of the Global Health Policy Center.
It gets very confusing because the J&J, which comes in at 66%, people go, well, that's 66%, whereas Pfizer, Moderna are each 95%. Well, shouldn't I go with Moderna or Pfizer? Then the answer is, well, look, the J&J field trials were done in a different point in time when there were variants. So when you're looking at your top line goal is block severe disease and death, those three perform exceptionally well. So grab one.
The British-Swedish AstraZeneca vaccine developed with Oxford University researchers has been used worldwide. But recently, some European countries temporarily suspended use of the vaccine over fears of a link to blood clots. After a review last week by the World Health Organization's Vaccine Safety Panel, the vaccine was once again given the go-ahead. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, the World Health Organization Director General.
We urge countries to continue using this important vaccine. The AstraZeneca vaccine is especially important because it accounts for more than 90% of the vaccines being distributed through COVAX.
COVAX is a WHO-led initiative to help ensure equitable distribution of the vaccines, especially to low-income countries. In general, there are several types of vaccines. Some are developed from older technologies, such as so-called inactivated or live-weakened vaccines, while others, such as the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, rely on newer methods, such as the messenger RNA. Public health expert William J. Moss explains.
The messenger RNA and the adenovirus vector vaccines work a little differently. Instead of injecting the protein or the whole virus, basically we're injecting the genetic recipe so that our own cells make the spike protein, and then we develop an immune response to that.
There are a number of other vaccines that have been developed around the world, including Russia's Sputnik V and a number of others by China. While they do have an important role, it's crucial they go through the full data collection processes, says Moss.
One of the challenges, I'd say, with those, both the Sputnik and some of the Chinese vaccines, is that they were rolled out in some populations before we really had all the phase three, trials.
But a number of countries are using the Russian and Chinese vaccines, with health officials in some nations taking the first jab themselves to reassure their populations. Recently, Sputnik V did provide additional data, as has one of the Chinese vaccine companies. So far, their track records have been positive. Given the challenges of a global pandemic, having a broad portfolio of vaccines is a good thing, say health experts.
One of the biggest obstacles that we faced is the manufacturing capacity. We need 14 to 15 billion doses of vaccines in order to get to herd immunity within this entire world. That's a staggering number.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Some South Sudanese refugees living in Uganda say they cannot return home because most of their villages have been occupied by some members of the South Sudan Defense Force. Emmanuel Nyaraga, a refugee community leader in Adjumani, says many villages in eastern Equatorial State have been forcefully occupied by pastoralists from Jonglo State. He says some of the pastoralists are armed with sophisticated weapons and are threatening refugees who return home.
Some people remain in the camp because their area has been totally occupied. And some have gone there to their place, and yet they have been threatened by the armed forces by then. As well, LRA activities were there also. And it leads, when it leads to 2013's war, people have been together with those the forces, the army and their community around, because they came with their people. And the people settled there, they grabbed the land by force. They have been settling in the land of the people where they planted, where they buried their ancestors. And these people came and employed it where the community has been pushed, especially in Nimule, pushed to the mountain areas where there is no even water, no roads and so on, at the side of the Motoyo. The Motoyo area has been occupied. Motoyo East, Motoyo West, Abila, where the army garrisons is. And also part of Pageri, as well in Magisite, Acholi Corridor.
Emmanuel Nyaraga, as a community leader of the refugees in Uganda, what steps have you taken to address this matter with authorities in Eastern Equatorial State?
Yeah, well, that is correct. But what I was explaining you was what happened before even JJ came as the chief of staff. Now what I'm telling you is what happened before. But the 2013's war, when it came in, war between Riag and the Salfa, tribal war, I quote it. But from there, people also depart. Some people rent you as refugees in Uganda, and some people remained there. Where the peace also came in, few people returned, and the peace has not taken time, took only a man only. And then from there, another war, 2016, erupted. As the war was erupted, people all came back to Uganda. Our land there, we now left it empty, where there are no people, only that the other community, the Dinka community, Luer community, and other communities, the cattle keepers, all came to our land there. They occupied the land with their animals. The animals are all there roaming around. And the people are there also, the army. The army are also there around. And they are also threatening, torturing people around there in the, where they are now.
I know that South Sudanese refugees who are in camps in Uganda often go back home. Could you tell me some of the testimonies from people who have tried to go back to their villages in Eastern Equatoria, specifically around Nimule? Could you tell me what they tell you?
Well, the people who returned, these are currently the people who returned are the refugees who went back there because they say peace has been signed between IO and opposition alliance as well as government. So they say there is peace now. They had wanted to go back home. As they are going there, they found the land is not yet ready because the armies are still there. They found their trees around that grow for long years have been destroyed. The houses are all vandalized. Everything has been destroyed. No boreholes, no water. There is no food yet. The soldiers are still so many around. Those soldiers who chase the civilians from that homeland to refugees, they are still there. And they said, when you reach there, you find some garrisons. Some checkpoints has been removed, but they are not taken elsewhere. The checkpoint has been brought to the other side, and this one has been brought to the other side, and some soldiers have been taken in the bush. They are just within. You just get them there. If they go back to get some poles to build their houses.
Nyaraga, give me some specific example of areas that have been occupied. I mean, we cannot talk about general issues. Just give me specifics.
Yeah, the area that has been severely affected, Pageri, Terepi, Moli, Opari, and the site of the river bank, where people even grow crops at the Bariside also. this area has been occupied by the animals. And the animals are not coming alone. The animals are coming with some forces around. They are coming with the heavy guns, machine guns, and so on. You can see even some animals are moving with the loads where they are carrying the bullets and pulling the big guns. And also the people, the armies are moving with the well-armed army. So those are like a garrison. It's not like like animals, grazing animals. It is just what? Garrison. You go there, they will do whatever they want to you, and they ask you questions. What are you looking for? And what are you doing? As a result, recently they have killed about 8 people at Odujo.
That's Emmanuel Nyaraga, a South Sudanese refugee community leader in Adjumani. He spoke with me from Adjumani town on Monday.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. Let's know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202-630-8011. We now leave you with Emmy J. Yore with his song, Asogoro. The song Asogoro. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from contracting COVID-19. did not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.